Tom Rowan. You're tuned in to Turn on the News. Turn on the News is Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Free 103.9 is a nonprofit arts group that works with artists who use radio in their work some way. This is the newscast, the daily newscast, for artists in that field. Go to free103.9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org for more information about transmission arts, radio theater, radio art, radio news, media news, and more. I'm Tom Rowe. We'll be back in just a second. Tom Rowe, you're tuned in to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Today we're going to tune into Free Press's Media Minutes in just a few minutes, and we also have headlines from around the world of radio. First in the United States. Well, not in the United States. We'll first start around the world, and we'll go to the Slovak Republic, the country with the fastest internet on the planet, according to Google. Average page loads of 3.3 seconds. South Korea is the fastest on mobile phones at 4.8 seconds. The slowest, according to Google, is Indonesia with an average web page loading speed of 20.3 seconds. In mobile, the United Arab Emirates was 26.7 seconds, the slowest. And the U.S., meanwhile, was somewhere in the middle. On the desktop, it took an average of 5.7 seconds to load a page, and a mobile device, 9.2 seconds. You can go to Benton.org for more information. The Benton Foundation reporting this through Google News. Behind us now is Melissa Dubin and music from the first karate lesson from Dado Blade. Free 103.9 release. JimRomanesco.com is reporting about Howard Stern losing his, or getting, actually, a judge dismissing his lawsuit against Sirius Satellite Radio. And Howard Stern, the radio host in the United States, shock jock is one word used for folks like that. Let's just read his quotes because they're always so much fun to hear straight from Howard Stern. I was so aggravated with the lawsuit news. I'm reading the newspaper articles. I'm arguing with the newspaper articles. I saw so many newscasters reporting this thing, so excited that I lost my lawsuit because they're all jealous. They don't like that I make a lot of money. They're so stupid because they don't understand if they ever get into business where they're in a contract, I'd be the first one to stand up for them because talent always gets screwed over. I have my contracts throughout my career with various broadcast companies. All of them screwed me out of the contract. Some of them I sue and some of them I don't because it's so expensive and it always ends up going against talent. It's the same thing I see where people sit in the stands at football games and go, that guy makes too much in money. I go, no, he doesn't. That money, the owners are making too much in money. They're not risking their neck. They're not going to be dead at 52. And a second quote about New York Daily News is David Hinckley, who has a regular radio column, one of the few left in the country in daily newspapers, and a good one. You know, I'm going to compliment David Hinckley. I used to give him a hard time, but he's the only guy who even writes about radio anymore. I was reading the ratings yesterday for radio. No one writes about radio anymore. But if he didn't write about it, who would have known that WLIT Light Radio now is the number one radio station? And that's what got me thinking. I should go back to terrestrial radio. I think in a week I could have the number one radio show again. I don't see anyone out there that can compete with me. I don't. I'm here 6 years and nothing's changed. Radio is still and sucks. No innovators, nothing going on. Go to JimRomanescu.com for more on that. Meanwhile, the Benton Foundation is reporting all kinds of other radio news. U.S. Senator Mark Warner, Democrat from Virginia, is calling for a spectrum inventory in the United States. He thinks there are pockets of semi-fallow use. That's the term he uses. Verizon's chief financial officer denies wireless carrier has hoarded spectrum. That's a headline at the Benton Foundation also. And there's much talk, too, about Verizon trading some of the spectrum it's not hoarding for other spectrum it would rather hoard. Benton Foundation is also reporting the FCC is going to allow text-to-speech emergency alerts. That's part of the emergency alert system.
Welcome to Media Minutes. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tatey.
Public media like NPR and PBS are designed to be ad-free, but soon the non-commercial broadcast stations may be airing political ads. Last week, a U.S. appeals court struck down a ban on political advertising on public TV and radio stations. In a 2-1 decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the judges ruled that the ban on political advertising violated the First Amendment. The judges said that permitting these sorts of ads would not threaten or undermine the educational nature of public broadcasting. But media watchdog groups like Free Press say the move deviates from the original vision of non-commercial programming. Political attack ads are on the rise, with commercial broadcasters raking in billions this year alone. Tim Carr, Free Press Senior Director of Strategy, said the public could now be inundated with these ads on the non-commercial stations they trust to deliver ad-free programming.
A lot of viewers out there are so sick of seeing these ads that they have chosen non-commercial media to escape from this inundation, this flood of political ads. Now, with this ruling, it means that is no longer a safe haven for them, that they potentially can turn on their favorite show on PBS, whether it's Sesame Street or Downton Abbey or The News Hour, and see these same types of ads that they're experiencing in excess on commercial stations.
In poll after poll, Americans overwhelmingly say that public broadcasting should be supported with public funds. Carr said NPR and PBS shouldn't be turning to political ads as part of their funding stream.
The idea that public media, that PBS and NPR need to seek other sources of income in order to survive, isn't supported by public opinion. So I think it's really incumbent on people in Congress to see that that sort of funding goes through rather than urging stations to resort to these alternatives, which really undermines the vision of public media.
Free Press is urging public media stations to reject these political ads through an online petition. Already, one PBS affiliate, KPBS in San Diego, and one local radio station, KSFR in Santa Fe, have committed to reject them. But there are 350 public television stations and 900 public radio outlets nationwide.
So we do still have a long way to go to get all of these stations to pledge not to accept these dirty attack ads.
To find out more, visit freepress.net.
What's being called the largest fiber optic network in North America was unveiled last week in South Central North Dakota. The 90 million, 10,000 square mile project combines two telecommunication cooperatives, Dakota Central Communications and Dickey Rural Networks, to bring high-speed fiber optic broadband service to 18,000 homes and businesses.
What's great about fiber to the home is it's really the purest and fastest form of an internet connection you can have.
And in a place like North Dakota, that's historically always had a digital divide, has been not as economically competitive because of that, it really tears down a lot of those barriers and creates a wonderful opportunity for that region to do some really cool things.
That's Jasper Schneider, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development State Director. He says having access to a truly high-speed internet connection creates opportunities for telemedicine, distance learning, business telecommuting, starting new businesses, or expanding existing ones. Agriculture has become a high-tech business, Schneider says. For instance, high-speed connections help dairy farmers check on their cows.
Sitting at home or being on the road or in a tractor or wherever you may be with your iPad, you can have simultaneously all your cameras on the screen at once, and you can get, a real-time snapshot of your production.
There are dairy operations that have surveillance cameras throughout their barns, fields, and pastures.
This isn't your grandfather's farm anymore. These farms and ranches, with GPS technology, with high-speed internet connection, with just all sorts of technology, they've become very sophisticated operations.
The network was financed largely through the USDA Rural Development Office in the form of loans. And grants from the Broadband Stimulus and the Recovery Act help bring connections to those areas lacking broadband service.
Rural broadband is a 21st century infrastructure, and I think it's probably the single biggest thing that can be a game changer for rural America. You look at the economic recovery that we're going through right now, one of the few bright spots actually has been agriculture and domestic energy production. And both of those generally are very much rural industries. And so I think that's kind of important to remember in the larger context of what we're doing as a country. Access to a high-speed internet connection isn't just a luxury. It's becoming a necessity and almost a backbone for almost everything we do.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.
I'm Tom Murray. You're listening to Turn on the News. And now, after we just heard the evils of advertisements on public radio stations, let's hear an ad for the band's album Stage Fright, in honor of Levon Helm, who died this week.
See the man with the stage fright, just standing up there to give it all his might.
The album is called Stage Fright.
And he got caught in the spotlight. When we get to the end, want to start all over again.
The group is called The Band. Stage Fright, the third album by The Band. Stage Fright, The Band, on Capitol.
Save your net, or save your brother. Looks like it's one or the other.
And the band plays on.
Oh, you don't know the shape I'm in.
Dancing to the music played by the DJ on the radio. The cokes are in the icebox, popcorn's on the table. Me and my baby, we're out here on the floor. So Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. Everybody's swinging, Sally's doing that twist now. If you take requests, I got a few for you. Play that song called Soul Twist. Play that one called I Know. Don't forget them mash.
potatoes. No other songs will do. Let me tell you, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby.
Having a party.
Yeah.
Everybody's swinging.
Oh, we're
dancing to the music.
Yeah.
On the radio.
One more time, we are
having a party.
Yeah,
and everybody's swinging.
Oh, we are
dancing to the music.
Yeah,
on the radio.
Tell you we're having a party.
Я живая. Я не рассказываю о предчувствии смерти. Во мне бушевали страсти, и все, в чем я нуждалась, было дано мне. Я заблудилась. Я переходила с места на место. Я живу только сегодняшним днем. Я была мешком с водой. Я была неподвижной пучиной. Я размазала свою кровь. Я стала каплей воды, баночкой с чернилами. Я любила людей. Я потеряла их. Кем я была раньше? Я была сумкой с водой, безжизненной субстанцией, неподвижной пучиной. Я прочитала много книг. Я сожалею. Я оказалась за пределами города. Я сказала себе: конец близок. Я подошла к дому, но не вошла в него. Я действительно очень замерзла. У меня не было врагов. Я потеряла свое зрение, стала близорукой. Я не могла посмотреть. Я спала. Я лежала, умирая, не говоря ничего. Я ничего не могла чувствовать.
Satellite crushing the last lone American eyes. This
right, that was 1 hour of breathing from National Public Radio in 17 seconds. For that, Bruce Springsteen with Radio Nowhere. For that, Paolo Raposa with Verbatim from Essays on Radio, Can I Have 2 Minutes of Your Time? CD full of 2 minute tracks on radio. And before that, Sam Cooke with Having a Party started things off there. Behind us is Dueling Transmitters, Cuambriant from shortwavemusic.blogspot.com. It's Mike David Weisskopf. Next up, we're going to go back to the Bronze Age of radio and hear Fibber McGee and Molly, a radio theater production from the 1940s, on Turn on the News from Free 103.9.
I guess we all used Molly's famous "'Tain't funny, McGee."
What are you reading, dearie?
Wimple's bird book. He left it here last night. And you never read such a miss of mass information in your life. It's awful.
Well, if it's that bad, why do you read it?
It's so garbled, it fascinates me. This book has got more wrong answers than a nervous housewife on Take It or Leave It. Look at the title, even. American Birds and Their Habits. They can't even spell habits, you see?
Where?
There.
Oh, that word isn't habits, dearie. It's habitats.
Oh. Well, what I want to know is what their habits are. Who cares where they have their habits at? Any bird lover who reads this would throw eggs at the publisher.
Say, when did you become such a bird lover?
Ever since the first time I had quail with wild rice.
What particular statement in that book are you quarreling with?
Well, listen to what it says about the feeding habitats of the pelican.
All right.
It says the pelican feeds occasionally on other things besides fish, but it definitely prefers marine life. Now, that is ridiculous.
Why is it?
There ain't a pelican living that could get in the Marines. Why? They even turned me down twice.
Dearie, that isn't what that means.
Huh?
Besides, I think you're being too critical. After all, you're not much of an expert on bird life.
Who ain't?
You ain't.
Huh?
I mean, you aren't.
Oh, the heck I aren't. Who was it worked his way through high school raising baby chicks? And even invented a slot machine that would dispense them 2 for a quarter. And who was it that a chewing gum took his idea and beat him to the patent office?
What chewing gum?
Chiclets. That's why I say these people are like these...
Come in.
Oh, it's Wallace Wimple. Hi, Wimp.
Hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, folks.
We were just reading your bird book, Mr. Wimple. Hope you don't mind.
Oh, not at all, Mrs. McGee. I'm glad to know where I left it. I'm afraid I was rather upset when I left here last night.
Yeah, we noticed that, Wimp. Yeah.
Why? Did I do something?
Well, we had the radio turned on to a political rally.
Oh, I remember now. A deep voice snarled, Wallace is going to get the beating of his life. And I went right out the window.
Yes.
Silly me.
Hey, how are you getting along these days with her, Wimp?
You mean Sweetie Face? My big old wife?
Yes.
About as usual. We had a little tiff yesterday, and believe me, Sweetie Face puts up a tough tiff.
What was it about, Wimp?
Oh, it was nothing, really.
No?
She came back from downtown with a new hairdo and asked me how I liked it.
Ben?
And I told her. Frankly, Sweetie Face, I said, it looks like an explosion in an Excelsior factory.
Oh.
I said, or a crew haircut with mutiny on the poop deck. I don't blame them for dyeing your hair, I said, but they waited too long to embalm it.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And then out loud, I said... I said, it looks simply beautiful, dear.
My gosh, how could she object to that?
She knows me so well. She ignored the compliments on my lips and tried to slap the expression off my face. When I ducked, she... Oh, speaking of ducks, did you enjoy reading my bird book?
Yeah.
No.
What?
Confidentially, Wimp, this book is fuller of tripe than the inside of a cow.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. McGee. This is the finest bird book there is. This is the authority on birds. It tells about the dodo bird disappearing, the migratory habits of the snow goose,
how
the passenger pigeon became extinct.
Wait a minute. What was that again?
You mean about the passenger pigeon?
Yeah, that.
Well, it says on page 49, and I quote, "The passenger pigeon, which once swarmed over the North American continent by the millions, has become completely extinct. The last known passenger pigeon died in the Cincinnati Zoo in 1914.
Exactly. That's just what I mean. That is a falsehood.
What do you mean, McGee?
I mean I saw a passenger pigeon today. I've seen one every day for weeks.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. McGee. If what you say is true...
And it is.
If you actually saw a real-life passenger pigeon, why any zoo in the country would pay thousands for one.
You mean thousands of money?
Thousands of dollars for one pigeon, Mr. Wimple? Are you sure it was a passenger pigeon, McGee?
Why, sure I'm sure it was a passenger pigeon. Hey, if they're worth that kind of dough, I could trap that thing and sell it for... Oh, my gosh, where's my hammer? Where's my tools? I gotta make a trap. Where's my screwdriver?
I don't know, Mr. McGee. I'm just a guest here.
Oh, I know. I left it right here in the hall closet.
No, don't open that door, McGee.
I'm Tom Rowe. You've been tuned in to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Tune in to Turn on the News at free103.9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org.